You are listening
point out
to
the
a
fault
sermon
when
podcast
the two of you are
brought
alone.
To you by Northminster Presbyterian
if the member
Church
listens to you,
of Greater
you...
Atlanta.
But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Shine, hurricane, tornado, doesn't matter, we do the road race. Matter of fact, I had my son Michael on June 14th. 2.5 weeks later, I was doing the road race. It's pretty amazing if you ask me. Now, when I say doing the road race, I don't mean actually running it. We would all get up early and go the PetSmart parking lot on Peachtree Road. And we'd watch as wave after wave of people came by. I don't know if you've ever watched it before, but it's really remarkable. You'll have sort of an empty street, and then a couple people will come, the fast ones, and then more people until the whole street and both sidewalks are just jam-packed with bodies wearing red, white, and blue. And then it trickles off until you just have the really slow ones coming. And then the next group of fast ones comes, and it just goes on and on, wave after wave. And we always would stay until the very last person had crossed in front of us, and the cleanup trucks, and then the police helicopters over top. And then we'd go out to breakfast, and then we'd spend the rest of the morning going, you know, we should really run that next year. Yeah, we should. Let's start training. Okay, let's start tomorrow. You know, tomorrow never comes, right? Yeah. So this scripture really reminds me of the Peachtree Road Race. When I read it, I think, you know, that is a really good way of dealing with conflict. I should do that. And then when it comes to the part about actually doing it, not so much. And I was reading this blogger this week. His name's Tim Chesterton. And he wrote that his first step in handling conflict is usually to go blacken the name of the other person by telling his wife and family and friends about it from his point of view. And it might just be that in the telling, he may modify the story just a little bit, omitting any mitigating circumstances in order to paint the offender in the worst possible light and paint himself as being squeaky clean. That sounds pretty good to me. What we need to remember about this passage, though, is that it's not so much directed at the person who wronged you. It's not about going to them and proving to them that they're wrong and that you're right. It's about you. And it's about how you handle conflict. And it's about making a strong base. It's about reconciliation. And it's about the church. It's a whole house built on sand thing. We're supposed to go out into the world and spread God's news. But if our home base is weak and we are divided by arguments, we can't do God's work in the world the way that we should. Now, thinking about when this scripture was written, most people agree that the book of Matthew was written sometime between 70 AD and 110 AD. It's a pretty big window, but we know that that 70 AD is a really important date because that is the year that the Romans finally had enough of the Jews and went in and decisively destroyed the temple. Now, it wasn't really anything new to the Jews because they'd been in and out of power, in and out of Israel for a really long time. And I have a visual aid now. This is from the Walter Jones School of Visual Aids. Map of the Mideast. And all of this area is the Mideast. And then Israel is this teeny tiny little piece right here out of this whole area. And you might wonder, you know, what's so great about Israel that everybody's been fighting over it forever? Well, it's got coastline right here, but there's also coastline here and 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 here. So maybe that's not it. Maybe they have oil fields? No, not so much. But Israel had been taken over so many times. In 1272... Joshua and all them went in and did the conquest of the promised land. And then 1106, Philistines took over the coast of Israel. In 555, the Assyrians took over. Then in 547, the Babylonians overran the Assyrians. They destroyed the first temple. Then in 422, the Persians overran the Babylonians. They send a whole, they send all the people back from Babylonia. And then in 312, the Greeks conquered Israel. Around 167, a family of priests rose up and fought the Greeks. And they fought and fought and fought. And finally, the Greeks said, we've had enough. We're going to sign a peace treaty. Things were relatively smooth for a while. And then two brothers couldn't decide who should really be the king. And so the Roman Empire had taken over Greece by that time. They decided it would be a good idea to go invite the Romans to come to Israel and settle their dispute. The Romans never left. Time passed, and here we are again in 70 AD. The temple is destroyed again. The Jews scattered to the winds. And the thing that was really different this time, while the Jews were trying to come together in little pockets of faith, there were some people who were following this guy named Jesus, and they were really shaking things up. They were making it hard to be a family, to be a base, a congregation. And the Pharisees, they emerged as the power group, and they formed a prayer in their worship called the Prayer Against the Heretics, the Birchat Hamanim, and it went like this. And for slanderers, let there be no hope. And may all the evil in an instant be destroyed, and all thy enemies be cut down swiftly, and the evil ones be uprooted and broken and destroyed and humbled soon in our days. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who breaks down enemies and humbles sinners. Now the enemies that they were talking about were the followers of Jesus. It was in this atmosphere that Matthew was writing to try and teach us how to deal with conflicts in a way that we could reconcile each other with each other, that we could find our way past our disputes and come together in a congregation. 20 years before that, we have Paul writing to the Christians in Rome, telling them that when we treat each other with love, we automatically follow God's love. And here we are, 2,000 years later, we're still having trouble with these same concepts. We're still having trouble dealing with our brothers and sisters with love. So the good news for us in all this, it's there. It's the fact that God never gives up on hoping that we'll get it right. God never gives up hoping that we'll learn how to get along in conflict. And God continues to speak to us today through these scriptures and through the writings of wise people. Our Presbyterian Book of Order tells us that discipline is not to prove somebody wrong, but to teach them and to mold them so that we can draw them back into the fold. It's not something to use to hurt somebody, but to help them and to help us live together in community. Now, I used to think this whole, well, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, was a Southern thing or an American thing or a politically correct thing. But I think it's just a people thing. Seems like we've been doing this all along. And in the church especially, we want to be nice to people. I can tell you several instances when people came to me here at Northminster and said, you know, you've done something that really hurt me. And I was able to fix it because I had no idea. But because they were brave enough to come and explain to me and tell me how they were feeling, we were able to reconcile. Now, if those people had just gone and told their spouses and their friends and their families, then nothing would have ever been fixed. So the message for us today is, let's not be afraid to talk to each other when we're upset. Let's not be afraid to go to someone and say, you know, this really bothers me. And remember that God is always with us, that Jesus is with us, giving us the strength and the courage to do the right thing, the strength and the courage to strengthen our communities so that we can live together in peace and harmony and go out and do God's work in the world to the glory of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.